Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm here with my friend Ben today, and what we're going to be doing is going over some of your comments because some of you happen to disagree with what I believe about salvation and the Bible. So let's start off by going over the first comment. This is from YOLO Mind Gamer. So it says here, if you can't lose salvation, why bother living a righteous, holy life? Might as well live it up and sin all you want if you'll make it at the end. No, this is wrong. Do not be deceived. St. Paul explicitly warns Judaizing Christians, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace, which is Galatians 5:4. He also tells his audience of Corinthian Christians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And he who goes... he goes on to list multiple sins, which he does, warning that those who commit them will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are pretty popular ones here. So let me start off by answering the first part, which he says, if you can't lose salvation, why bother living a righteous and holy life? So my explanation for that is that because we love God and we want to do what's right by God, also we don't want to be punished by God for breaking God's laws. That's why. Not because, you know, we don't want to lose our salvation. That's like, my daughter. Why does she want to obey her parents? Because, you know, she loves her parents and she doesn't want to get punished. Because, you know, if my daughter breaks the rules in the house, I'm not just going to throw out in the street, hey, you're not my daughter anymore. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, amen. I mean, obviously, you know, this idea that people only serve the Lord for fear of going to hell is completely false. Often you'll notice that those who believe in salvation by faith are actually doing the most works. And like you mentioned, you know, you don't want to get punished by the Lord. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And beyond that, there are rewards waiting for us in heaven for the works that we do. And if you want to be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, well, you know, obviously that would require you living for God here on this earth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and the thing is, we were never good enough to receive the gift of eternal life. Notice it's a gift. And so how could we be bad enough to lose it? You know what I mean? So if you're basing your whole salvation off of how good you are, then you're just not saved. You're just relying on your works because salvation is a gift from God, not based on how good or bad we are. So let's get into Galatians 5, verse 4, where he tells the audience, just go ahead and read the verse.
Well, let's read it in the real Bible. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Jesus right. Christ died for everyone. The Bible says that he died for every man. But the thing is that those people who would choose to reject the gospel, those people who would choose to reject salvation by faith and rather rely on their own works or be justified by the law, as the text says in Galatians 5:4, are fallen from grace in the sense that the grace of God, the gift of eternal life, what Jesus did doesn't apply to them because they've rejected it, and rather they're choosing to be justified by the law.
Which it says in Galatians 3:11 that no man can be justified by the law in the sight of God. So what does that tell you? That they're just not justified because they're trying to follow the law.
And it's funny, people will use this verse and say, well, if you don't have the works, then you're going to lose your salvation. It's like, where are you getting that from?
You know what, you know what they're getting that from? James chapter 2, which is just telling believers to get to work, to do works.
The text is literally saying that if you're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. It's describing the very people who are twisting this to teach that you could lose
your salvation. Well, who do works justify us before? Before man, because man can't see our faith. Only God can see our faith. So who do our works justify us before? They justify us before man. Our faith justifies us before God because only God can see our faith. This, you know, Ben can't see my faith if I'm not doing any works. So then now, Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe he said verses 9 through 10, but I think it's more like 9 through 11. You got to get the context of this to understand it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is talking about taking a fellow brethren to law in a secular court, right? So, and it's telling us the people that will be judging us in the secular court are, first of all, non-believers and people who commit these types of sins, and they won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Because why? They're not saved.
Exactly.
They haven't believed.
So, and it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, that anything that maketh a lie will not inherit the kingdom. So if you, not a habitual liar, but if you've even told one lie, you're not going to heaven. So, right. But there's one thing you can do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So 1 Corinthians 6, in many ways, can be paralleled with Revelation 21:8, in the sense that if you're not saved, and then you commit one of those sins, well, now you deserve to go to hell. Just as sure as those who are not saved, all they have to do is tell one lie to deserve to go to hell. The Bible lists these sins often in Scripture, and then will say that these people are going to hell in the sense that their only way out is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then people, it's funny, they'll go to Revelation 21:8. See, look,
it's talking about people who do it habitually, though.
Yeah,
it's only habitual.
That's totally false.
So this comment is from Zero something, I don't know, whatever, who cares. So his comment is, typical Protestant false teaching, live your life as you will. You are saved with just a belief. Love God and sin boldly. - Martin Luther. Okay, so nobody's saying to just go out and sin and live life the way you want. We're saying that has nothing to do with losing salvation. But if you're saved and you're living how you want, Hebrews 12:6 says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So you're going to get punished here on this earth when you're living like that. And at some point, if you're actually a sane person, you're probably going to get tired of God continuously punishing you and your life sucking. So you're going to just come to obedience. I mean, if you're a sane person.
Well, I think it's so funny when I hear comments like that, because it's like these same people would then condemn us for being too hateful or for being, quote, legalistic. Because, you know, our kind of church, we'll kick people out for committing fornication until they repent and then they can come back in. We actually believe in church discipline. We preach very hard about the importance of adding works to your faith and living a righteous, clean Christian life. We actually believe in 1 Corinthians 5. But these same people will hear a sermon from like an independent fundamental Baptist church. Oh, you're so legalistic. And then they'll turn around and they'll put a stupid comment like that attacking us and claiming that we're teaching people to live however they want. False, it's a straw man.
A hecky 3528 says, bro, what the freak? I was on the phone with my mans for like 3 hours kind of debating about this. I said, you can lose it. But he was like, once saved, always saved. And he also said, you can't lose it because it's God's gift. I disagree with that, because when you come to Christ, behold, you're a new creation, and the old you is gone. Well, that's not true, because the new man, well, yes, you have the new man, but you still have the old man. Your flesh is still there until you die. So that's ridiculous. That's why Apostle Paul is saying that his flesh and his spirit are constantly battling. It's a battle.
Romans chapter 7.
Then it says here, in Galatians also talks about the flesh and the spirit. To walk in the spirit.
Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says.
Then it says here, but if you living life like you was before you received Christ, I think you can lose it. Well, here's the thing. If it was just so automatic, once you're saved, you're just living this righteous life, then why does Paul continue to have to tell us certain things that we should be doing and shouldn't be doing? If it was automatic, it would just, well, we're all perfect now.
Well, if living your life how you was, in this person's words, yeah, would make you lose your salvation, then God is a liar. Because the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, the second that those who are saved, the second that they believed in Christ, received everlasting life. They got everlasting life the moment they believed. And everlasting life is eternal. So either God is a liar or eternal life really is eternal. I'm going to go to what the Bible says.
And now just to go off that, in Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 4, it says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life."
Exactly.
So not by our works of righteousness. That's not why we're saved. Okay, let's go to the next comment here. Okay, so this guy here, big in Jesus, he lists Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 as that you can lose your salvation.
Wow. That's like unbelievable. And again, this is another example of somebody taking a scripture that actually applies to them and then trying to use it to say that it's talking about losing your salvation. So Hebrews chapter 12, let's go there, verse 8. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Essentially saying, look, if you're not receiving punishment from the Lord as a father would punish their child, you're not God's son, you're a bastard. That guy is a bastard.
Yeah, so, and all these people that say, well, the gospel, the American gospel or whatever is that, you know, you can just go out, you can do whatever you want, and you're going to go to heaven. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. Because if you go out and do whatever you want, commit all these sins, and you're really saved, then God's going to punish you. Hebrews 12:6.
Or he might kill you.
Exactly.
He could take you home early. Look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5.
Yep.
They lied to the Holy Spirit and dropped dead.
Yep. And then let's go to the next comment here. So this is from Taylor Church Ward. It says, "They had belief in Matthew chapter 7, but no relationship. If we have integrity and aren't hypocritical, we'll act according to our beliefs." That's not true, because Matthew chapter 7, they said, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name?" They're just talking about, have we done this? Have we done that? It doesn't talk about that they were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It just talks about the works that they did, and that's what they trusted in. They didn't trust in what Jesus did, the death, burial, and resurrection, and all the miracles he had done.
Yeah, you can connect Matthew 25 to that scripture we looked at earlier in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. These people were justifying themselves by their works, and those who do that are going to be cast into the lake of fire.
Exactly. And nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, they just didn't have a strong enough relationship.
Find me that word in the King James.
I can't.
You can't. Now, obviously, you should pray, and you should read your Bible, and you
100%.
Should commune with God and go to church. And if that's what you mean by relationship, then fine. But that's not what gets you saved.
Exactly. Okay, so this next comment is from Mexeditz 1032. He says, "The world says they believe in God too, but most of them will perish sadly. We make no difference than the world if we believe in once saved, only saved. We could be like Catholics who say they believe but still live in sin. God wants us to repent daily and trust in him. Jesus said you must deny yourself and carry your cross daily. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So he listed, that's Luke 9:23. It talks about that in Matthew as well. But what Jesus is talking about is discipleship. If you want to be his disciple.
Yeah, Jesus says, "He that followeth not after me, he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me, is not worthy of me," right? In Matthew chapter 10. And the thing is, it's about discipleship. So this guy twisting the scriptures and turning discipleship passages into salvific passages because he doesn't understand the Bible. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Basically, you know, if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit, then reading the scriptures is like reading Chinese. So of course they're going to come up with all kinds of weird interpretations of the scriptures because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And I always find it funny. He says, well, you got to repent and trust in Jesus. What does that even mean if you believe in work salvation? What do you mean by that? Trust in Jesus. What are you talking about? You don't trust in Jesus. You're trusting in your works. So why are you using that terminology?
Yeah. And it's funny because John MacArthur always uses the same thing. about salvation. John MacArthur doesn't even know the difference between salvation and discipleship. It's completely different.
Well, I think that he's intentionally twisting
or he's
these verses. He could be, but I think he's a reprobate.
Yeah.
He's definitely a reprobate, and he's twisting the verses on purpose to send people to hell.
Yeah. But do you think he genuinely believes that, though? Like, he's so just far reprobate that he genuinely believes what he's saying.
Well, perhaps God has sent him a strong delusion.
Yeah. So here's another one. This is from Taylor 24. Once a person believes on Jesus' name and keep the Ten Commandments of God till the end of days, the same will go to live with God. None of us can go to see the Father if we just live life believing on Jesus' name and not following up with the works to prove our faith in Jesus. Well, works prove us before man, not before God, because God only God knows our faith. And so you're saying following the law is going to get you there. No, it's not, because nobody can be justified by the law in the sight of God, Galatians 3:11. It's like you call someone a good friend, but don't show them that you appreciate them for being a good friend. It makes no sense. You're going to go off that.
Well, I mean, you know, the Bible says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, the idea that you have to have the works to prove that you're saved is totally ridiculous. Think about King Saul. What works did he demonstrate to prove that he was saved, right? I mean, you have a guy who murdered God's priests. You have a guy that committed suicide. He wanted to kill David out of envy. And the Bible, yet, in spite of all of those wicked things that he did, makes it clear that he went to heaven in 1 Samuel 28:19, when he ended up going to the place where Samuel the prophet was. So it's like you list all these different examples in Scripture. You have Demas in the New Testament. You have the thief on the cross. These people did not necessarily...
Well, the thief on the cross, he was really, really sorry, and he suffered on the cross. Yeah, that's okay. What they'll say.
Well, that's
he did works. He was working up there.
He was working as he was on the cross.
He didn't do anything.
There's multiple examples in Scripture of people. Lot is another example. Give me the great works that Lot did. Right. Obviously, there's so many examples in Scripture of people not necessarily outwardly demonstrating works.
And they'll try to say, 100%. And they'll try to say, well, see, Abraham was justified by his works. But it's like, okay, number one, yes, before man, not before God. And they think that he got saved when he offered Isaac up on the altar. But he was saved when he called upon the name of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12. And he was 75 years old. He didn't even do that to Isaac till was he like 130.
So Genesis chapter 22 contains the story of him offering up Isaac upon the altar, and then you have Genesis chapter 12 where he's calling on the name of the Lord. So this idea that he got saved in chapter 22 doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so this next comment is from R. Lopez 3294, and he left the comment James 2:26.
All right, so how this proves you could lose your salvation or anything like that is beyond me. And again, it has nothing to do with heaven or hell salvation here. James chapter 2, when people read this, they need to get heaven or hell salvation out of their mind totally, because that's not what it's talking about at all. It's just an exhortation to add works to your faith for several different reasons. But here in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, this is true. Amen. In the sense that you're not profitable to other people or to God if you have a dead faith. But a dead faith still exists. This isn't saying that if you have a dead faith that your faith no longer exists. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It doesn't say faith without works doesn't exist. Now, let me give you an example. If my cell phone dies, if my cell phone is dead, it still exists. It's just dead and not profitable or useful. In the same way, those who have a dead faith, they obviously still have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but their faith is not useful or profitable for anyone.
Exactly. I mean, this is written to people who are already saved.
That's why it says, my brethren, over and over again.
Yep. To the 12 tribes. Okay, so this next comment is from the same person, R. Lopez 3294. He leaves Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
Well, this, again, it's not describing individual spiritual salvation whatsoever. What Jesus is explaining is that because this church, right, this is written to an entire church, because they're lukewarm, that they're going to be spit out of God's mouth, and basically explaining God's not going to use them anymore as a church, and that they're basically not even, you know, useful to the Lord whatsoever because they're so lukewarm.
Right.
Right? It's being written to an entire church and explaining that they're lame, and that if you, you know, want to actually be used of God as a congregation, you have to have works. You got to be doing mighty works for the Lord.
Okay, so the next one here is from the same person again, R. Lopez 3294, and the comment says, Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Well, that's talking about physically your flesh here on this earth. It's not talking about salvation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to understand what chapter this is, right? This is a classic example of ripping a verse out of context. We're in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus Christ is describing the events that are going to come to pass before his second coming. So we're dealing with end times Bible prophecy here. And he says in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The end of what? Well, the end of the period of time leading up to the rapture. It says in verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So what's he describing here? What days is he talking about? He's talking about the great tribulation, where the Antichrist wages war against the saints, and that those days are going to be shortened by the second coming of Christ. So essentially, no flesh would be saved if Jesus didn't come back during this time period, because right, we would all die courtesy of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, this isn't a spiritual salvation here.
Yeah.
It's describing the salvation of the flesh, which will occur, you know, courtesy of Jesus when he comes back.
Yep. So the next comment here is from Craig7031. It says, salvation is conditional to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20.
Well, I don't know what in the world, where in the world this guy is getting it from. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, and read that in our King James Bibles. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, there's no light in a lot of these people who are writing these comments, and you can tell that there is no light in them by what is coming out of their mouth. And this is not saying that you have to have works to be saved. It's not saying anything about that. It's just describing the fact that, hey, these people have no light in them based on what they're saying. Ye shall know them by their fruit. What's coming out of their mouth? And these people who believe in damnable heresy, they're not of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. People who understand the Bible and are saying things that are true, that believe in salvation by faith, yeah, that believe in eternal security, that's how you can tell they have the light in them, they have the Holy Spirit in them, and that they have the truth.
Yep, and I think that is actually the last comment. Do you have anything else to add?
No, it's unfortunate that a bunch of heretics decided to comment on there, but hopefully it's not too late for a vast majority of them, and they actually look up the Bible way to heaven and get saved and stop resisting clear as day scriptures, yeah, that teach that once you're saved, you're always saved.
You know what? At the end of the day, some of these people, you can't even blame them, because I was fooled too by a lot of these false teachers. So you kind of, you don't know what to believe sometimes, because there's so many false teachers out there.
Yeah, and for those who are stuck in the middle and they're not quite sure, or they're deceived by, yeah, the false doctrine that you could lose your salvation, my hope is that you would just humble yourself, you would seek out Once, yeah, Saved, Always Saved by Pastor Anderson and other sermons about this topic, and you'd realize, you know, the Bible does teach that it's eternal life.
And notice all the verses talking about eternal life, once saved, only saved. They're crystal clear, but all the ones about losing your salvation, they're very wishy-washy, and once you really get the context of them, it's clearly not saying anything about losing your salvation. It's talking about something else every single time.
You can't lose that which is eternal. It doesn't even make any logical sense.
Yeah, and if you weren't good enough to receive it, then why would you be bad enough to lose it?
Right. Over and over again, Jesus talks about believing. The Bible talks about believing to get saved. He that believeth will have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth has everlasting life.
He that believeth on Christ overcomes the world.
Right. Exactly right. And I mean, it's just, the Bible couldn't be more clear that salvation is by grace through faith alone. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, you know, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You know what, there's people that'll go to in Ephesians chapter 2, they'll say, well, you didn't read the last verse, 10.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go. I love that last verse.
Yeah.
So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, obviously God didn't save us so that we could sit on our hands and do nothing. The Bible is going to emphasize doing works after salvation. Yeah. And yeah, there are certain things that God wants us to do, works that we've been ordained to do as his children, and we should walk in those works. But nowhere does this teach that you're absolutely 100% going to. Now, you should walk in those works. That's why it says that which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in these works that God has prepared for us, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily 100% going to do it. Otherwise, scriptures like walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh don't make any sense if it's automatic.
Yeah, because he keeps having to remind us over and over. Like, the moment you're saved, are you just all of a sudden 180? You're just perfect now? No, it doesn't work like that.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
My favorite one to show him is Romans 3:28. It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What does that mean? You're justified by faith. My gosh.
It doesn't get more clear than that.
All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this video. Be sure to comment below, leave a like, and subscribe to the channel. And I'll go over more comments in the next one. Hopefully there are some more. I mean, actually, hopefully not, because I want people to understand and get it so everybody can get saved. But yeah, guys, be sure to comment, and I'll see you in the next video.